Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Consumer Electronics Show, CES, it's in Vegas this week. And once again, the world's gaze is turning towards the show floor over there, looking at the dazzling future, showcasing cutting-edge gadgets and tech marvels that are blurring the lines between necessity and novelty and the nonsensical. We're joined by Jason Heiner. He is the editor-in-chief at ZDNet, and he's there this week, and he's on the floor looking at all these new marvels. And Jason, welcome back to The Source.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So what are you seeing? What is the big trend emerging this year from CES?
Well, not surprisingly, we knew it going in. We knew it from last year. You know, AI is everywhere. But I would encourage us to make the distinction between there's really AI is really two things now. It's a technology, one, and two, it's a marketing term. So everything that used to be smart, you know, smart TVs, smart vacuum cleaners, you know, smart refrigerators, now is AI, right? So there's a lot of things that are getting called AI. They, you know, you from one perspective, you could say they are AI, but more anything that's smart or involves an algorithm or machine learning is now being branded AI. That said, there are some things that give us a little bit of a taste of the future. And I think that we're going to find that more and more from some of the things we learned this week at CES, we're going to see some of these things intersecting with everyday life in some ways that people will actually care about and could actually be good and make a difference.
Yeah, I do wonder, do I need an AI crock pot or refrigerator or lawnmower?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they? How smart do these things need to be?
Yeah, it true. Maybe a lawnmower. I think, you know, anything that can save you time, that can maybe save your body.
Yeah. But they're saying the AI lawnmower can cut your lawn into shapes and decorations and patterns. It's like, well,
yeah.
I just want it shorter. I want my grass shorter.
There you go. Well, I think that AI would come in for the lawnmower in that, like, it knows how to, you know, go around poles, and it knows how to, you know, do the things that when you go up near the edge of something, you automatically lift it up a little bit, right? So that it's not going to, you know, take it down to the dirt. Those are the smart things that humans do that today, like the technologies, can't even autonomous lawnmowers, the best ones today, can't. They have to get smarter in order to do it as well as what a human would do. And we're not there yet. And what we learned at CES this week isn't taking anything, you know, into that realm. But there are some interesting sort of steps forward.
Right. So I'm hearing about, I've seen some videos on YouTube about these LG's transparent signature OLED TV. It does seem futuristic because it's transparent.
Sure.
And what explain that?
Yeah. Look, from it has all of these things have a black back that they start with, right? A TV. And so it's sort of like painting on that canvas. And this one essentially can remove the black plate. And so when you're looking at it, instead of seeing, you know, whatever the background might be, you know, you're going to see it straight through the TV. I don't think in a home, I can't think of one single use for it in a home, to be honest. And certainly I wouldn't want to watch, you know, a movie on something like that. But I could imagine where you like go down to the subway and look into the subway map. And the subway map is in the window of the subway, right? In the future, when these things become much less expensive, like this thing is going to be $60,000. I can't imagine it getting many uses. But I think in the future, you could imagine it in places like subways or places like businesses where or stadiums, things like that. I think there it could have some interesting uses. But
yeah, it reminded me of Iron Man 2 when Tony Stark pulls out his smartphone and it's just like a piece of glass. And it's like, okay, that's where we are now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So this is more of an imagination piece that, you know, somebody imagined this could be, and they don't even know all the uses for it yet. And they want to see, like, what could somebody do with this?
And what do consumers want? And so I'm wondering that, too, about the Lenovo ThinkBook Plus Generation 6, which has this motorized screen, this laptop screen that kind of expands and grows and gets taller. And when you never know what people will think that, yeah, I want that. That seems kind of more than I would need, but, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It also uses gestures. So you like put your hand, you sort of wave your hand up and it goes up and you sort of wave it down to go down. That also seems a little bit gimmicky, but it's cool, right? And the interesting thing, people do like big screens. They're used to more real estate. I think also some of this is still a little bit of pandemic lasting impact because people were, by and large, working at their desktop. Many people bought monitors for the first time, even if they had laptops. So they were used to, you know, having more desktop space for multitasking. That's probably the impetus for trying something like this. Again, it's a little bit of imagination. Do people want this? Is there somebody, you know, a stock trader or something that wants to be able to see these things on their laptop without having to carry a whole separate display? Because there are now this whole market in, like, second displays for your laptop that you can throw in your bag when you take on the road. And this one is like, well, hey, we can use this specialty display to do the whole thing just in one laptop. It does make your laptop a little bit heavier. You know, there's also then the concern, like, could it get stuck? And so, you know, I think there are a number of ways in which it could be challenging to have this, especially the first generation, but it is an interesting idea. Again, creative ideas to see, is this something consumers actually want?
Sells for about $3,000, which is about twice the price for a laptop of the similar computing power. So that's interesting. And a battery, I wonder how long will the battery last with something like that? Well, the robots. Now, we're waiting for the big robots to take over. Right now they're not ready to take over yet, but they are ready to pick up our socks. So we have the vacuum, you know, the little, you know, rotary vacuum that goes around the house these days. Now is capable of picking up your little odds and ends that are tossed onto the floor.
Yeah, so this one is interesting. You know, these robot vacuums have gotten better and better, and people like having them because if this can save you even an hour or two a week of having to vacuum, great. It's not going to do everything, but it could save you some of the sort of in between, you know, maintenance vacuuming. But they have this big challenge that some of them get, if you have like a cat toy on the floor, a sock is the biggest culprit, I'm sure. You know, it could run over it, it could eat it up. Some of them have gotten better about sensing that, but this one now has this robotic arm that comes out of the top and will pick that thing up and move it. So it is the anti-sock, you know, piece there. Hopefully it knows the difference between an animal. It's not going to try to pick up your dog or your cat or something.
Yeah, apparently it can see. It can really, it's certain things it can kind of, so the AI in the vacuum cleaner does all that. And so right. It is the mortal enemy of the little vacuum cleaner has been conquered because it has like an arm that comes out like R2-D2 when it's able to plug
That's right.
It looks pretty cool. So, you know, the thing about the, you know, we're worried about healthcare in the future, and certainly with the pandemic, people really didn't, you know, has been getting a needle in the arm during the vaccination process. Now that's been solved. There is something that's been on the show floor at CES that says no more needles for injections. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, this one's called BoltJet by FlowBeans. This is a really interesting one because obviously lots and lots of people have fear of needles. There's a lot of important things that you can only get via an injection, including many vaccines. as well as other important things like, steroids, injections that people need for different things to help their, immune systems along. So what this does is this uses, it's a needle-free, high-precision liquid microjet, they call it, that sort of targets the skin, and it can, get up close to the skin and fire things in. It calls it virtually painless, minimally invasive. So certainly, I'm guessing you're still going to feel a little something, but probably less than a needle, but a really good, nurse or healthcare technician also can get in and out really quickly. So that said, they're not all of them are that good. So maybe this could be good. I don't think it's going to work for everything, but what it says is it can do some of these, simple superficial skin layer kind of things. There's not a whole lot of detail yet as to sort of what could or couldn't be. But again, if this can help people who are just like not getting injections because of their fear of needles today, then that's a good thing.
Well, does this thing, is it expensive? Do you think this could be, as if it's mass produced, they can get it down to a price that's, capable of being something that people use all the time? And I do worry about, diseases from sharing of needles. I mean, maybe this will be a way to fix that.
Yeah, that's true. It's a great point. Those questions are still up in the air.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to continue talking about the future that is on display at the Consumer Electronics Show. If you've got a question or a comment about what you've been hearing, give us a call, 833-877-8255. The source continues after this break.
The City of San Antonio Revitalize SA Corridor Leadership Program offers no-cost training for those interested in neighborhood commercial corridor revitalization. Over 9 months, participants will obtain leadership and strategy skills and have an opportunity for grant funding. Applications at sanantonio.gov/EDD/Revitalize SA. This nonprofit message is underwritten by the Economic Development Department.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. CES, that's where we frequently see for the first time cutting-edge technology. It often feels futuristic when we get eyes on it for the first time, but history shows us that it quickly becomes mainstream. Innovations like HDTV, smart home devices, voice assistants, they all debuted at CES as premier products, but before then they became affordable household items. Advances showcased on stage, whether it be AI, robotics, healthcare tech, all this follows a pattern. We have early adoption by enthusiasts, we have scaled manufacturing, and we have mass marketing available. And then these things become affordable for people like you and me. You know, those drones and VR headsets, they started out as luxury items, and now, we see them all over the place. So CES serves as a glimpse of the future that many of us can probably enjoy not long from now. Jason Heiner is the editor-in-chief at CDNet. They cover online new technology, and they help people get a grip of new technology. And he's been there all week taking a look at all this new technology. Well, is there anything that's really blown you away, Jason?
Oh, sorry, you just cut out there.
Okay, yeah. So, Jason, what's blown you away while you've been walking around by the expo floor?
Thank you. Okay, so, there's a number of things that the team, we have multiple teams there, not just VDNet, but our sister sites, CNET, PCMag, and Mashable, and have been scouring. We're also giving out the Best of CES awards, and so that'll come out tomorrow. So there are a number of things in a number of places that have really caught our attention. One of the things that is interesting is this idea. I have to laugh a little bit. I've been going and covering CES for over 20 years, and the interesting thing is that some trends pan out, as you were saying, and some of them don't, right? 3D TV never panned out. A number of other things never panned out. One that never panned out that now AI is making possible is this idea of interactive TV, right? Is that, you know, you'd have something playing on the TV, you could figure out very quickly, like, who's that actor, or what's that bookshelf there? What's the coffee table? What are the shoes they're wearing? And, you know, be able to purchase it, or at least get more information. The interesting thing is, through AI, some of this old idea of interactive TV is kind of back. So both Samsung and LG announced that they're adding essentially an AI button to their remotes. And the Samsung one is particularly sort of interactive TV-like, in that it starts with, today, using AI technology, using this essentially generative AI, the stuff that we're most familiar with from the last couple of years, to basically stop any part of the picture you're in and look at, you know, something on it. And then, so we're starting with people and food. So you can look up information on an actor, on a show, on, you know, what's going on the screen, and get a little sidebar that gives you information right away and while it's still playing. Same thing with food. So if you're watching a food channel, you can, you know, hit the button and it will figure out what's the food that's there, and it will find a recipe that's very similar to that and put it in the sidebar, you know, on the side. So I think of this as, like, if it works, because, you know, it's the beginning of something new here, but all of it, we know that these new large language models, which is what generative AI like ChatGPT is based on, and other things like Google Gemini, that these things do have the capabilities of doing these very, you know, detailed searches on images and on text. And so it should be able to be doing things like this pretty intelligently. And then lastly, with that, Google also announced that it's bringing Gemini to Google TV, which will allow you to speak to your TV much more seamlessly without even, like, holding down a button on the remote or anything. It's next generation TVs will have these wide angle, wide area microphones, and you can just be in your living room and ask a question in natural language and much more conversational ways, talk to your TV and get information about what's on screen, or have it pull up information. And it was giving demos of this at CES, and they were quite impressive, right? You could ask, give me a movie like Jurassic Park, but made for kids under 12, or find me a video of it, and it would pull stuff up that's, you know, pretty accurate. So this interactive TV element could be the thing that people, you know, that the listeners might find is going to be the most maybe near-term development that you're going to see from what we've heard at CES this year.
I watched the press conference for the NVIDIA and about their new chips and things that they're coming out with. And they're talking about quantum computers and really extraordinary computer chips, and how they will be going into these humanoid robots that are just around the corner. They're saying that it won't be long now before we actually have robots that I will buy, say, at my electronics store, my Best Buy or whatever, and I'll bring it home and then turn it on and it will do things around my house. It's still unbelievable to me that that's something that's what would be happening in my lifetime. I mean, any sign at CES that, you know, those humanoid robots are almost ready to burst out?
Boy, you know, we've been hearing this since, like, the 1950s, right? Since, like, the Jetsons, that the robots are coming any day now to, like, do our dishes and fold the laundry and all of those things. I don't know. I don't know how close we are. I tend to think we're not that close, to be honest. I wish we were too. Look, I want a robot to fold my laundry and do the dishes and other things, mow the lawn, whatever, all of these things too. But I think what's interesting is if the AI landscape, and there's a lot of really great stuff happening, so we may be closer than I think, but if the AI landscape were a a set of skyscrapers, in a beautiful set of skyscrapers in a downtown, you know, somewhere, then NVIDIA would be the company that makes the concrete and the steel for those skyscrapers. You know, they're not really flashy. There's not really interesting, you know, that much, you know, interesting about the concrete and the skyscrapers themselves. It's what people do with it that makes it interesting. So it makes it interesting. I don't think NVIDIA, unless they do something different, which they could, I don't think NVIDIA is going to be making these robots. I think it's more likely that, you know, other companies are going to be doing it, whether it's Google or Apple or Amazon.
Lenovo says they're going to be putting out a robot. Yeah. So the same people that Sony, all these people that, you know, make your consumer electronics are going to be putting out robots. I don't know what they're going to, I don't know what it would do, why I would want one. But, you know, I said the same thing about the PC. Like, why would I want one of those things?
Yeah, so you know how these things work. So it could be, like, we could be closer. I think there's a number of breakthroughs that have to happen before that comes. And one of them is that what these folks that have been making robots for years have found is that robots just don't have the dexterity that human beings have. Tesla found this out when it was trying to use robots to make to run its factory, right? It found out that it's much more effective to have a human being on the assembly line, precisely set that seat in the right place and, you know, drill it in really quickly than it was to have a robot. The robot just weren't dexterous enough, and they would, like, ram it, and they would break things. And so they eventually pulled all the robots out and put people back in. But there are other things the robots were really good at. So I think we're still not sure. I don't think we figured out what makes sense for robots to do and what things are just not very replaceable that humans do, because the human body is a remarkable machine that's very effective at some things, and it's probably going to take, we're probably even hundreds of years away from being able to create things that are as, you know, dexterous as humans. It could be. It's always longer than we think, but it always comes faster than we think, too.
Well, it does seem like CES goes through, since you've been going so long, you can probably tell me if this is right or wrong. It goes in cycles. You know, that there's a big breakout year, and then the following years is to just refine it and make it bigger, better, cheaper. And, you know, was this a breakout year? Or are we still like maybe next year will be the breakout year?
Yeah, I don't think it was a breakout year. I think we're still with this AI stuff. We're still figuring out, it's similar to the robotics. We're still figuring out what can it really be good at. And we know a few things. We know that these large language models are great at recognizing things much faster than we ever could before. So it's great at summarizing a set of text. It's great at recognizing images and looking it up and finding out what that is. So it has been a real big advancement, you know, in the last couple of years. So I think we're more in the refinement phase of AI, and we're likely to be in this refinement phase for a while, because we're still figuring out what are the things it's going to be really good at, because everything seemed possible in 2022 when generative AI first burst on the scene. Now we're finding the places that, you know, are either too expensive or are too difficult or are going to take too long. And so let's not focus on those. Let's focus on the areas that make a lot of sense. And that's where I think this TV thing is an area that might quickly have some applicability. Google's version of this, the Gemini, bringing Gemini to Google TV, is going to come to TVs that are already out there, not just new TVs. So some people that already have a Google TV, which is if you have a Sony or a Hisense or a TCL, a lot of them are run on Google TV. You know, you're going to see some of the advancements even in 2025.
Jason Heiner, he's the editor-in-chief at ZDNet. You can find them online, and they're explaining and helping people deal with new technology. And he's been on the ground all week covering CES. And thank you so much, Jason, for telling us all the cool things that you're seeing.
My pleasure. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.